Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I am your host, Kyle, and joining me tonight, we've got Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga and our official meteorologist, Purdue. Be catching up on the latest with Baba Yaga and the recovery efforts in South Carolina in just a minute. And then we should probably get back to some real trading talk since it's been a while since we've done any of that. Show news. Got some great episodes coming out the next couple weeks. We did a new Humanity with Cleo and Sean Sawyer over at Sound Performance Psychology. That was a really good episode, but I got to let him do a listen to it before it goes out, so it may be delayed a little bit. And then White Boy Rick joined in on another informal economics episode with me and Eric Mason. That one was almost as fun as the one with Joel. We found out that he was a closeted Canadian fan. Let's see what else we got here. If we get this thing figured out and published in time, Sunday we'll be doing strategy and weekly prep. We moved that to 2 o'clock on every other Sunday, so if you're around, jump in, come hang out with us. Those are always a fun time. Bob, what's going on in Vanta Trading? You got anything? How did everybody do this week?
Well, I don't know how everybody did.
you were around.
I'm still getting back into the swing of things, so I think we traded 3 days this week, maybe. Does that sound right? Three or four?
I know I traded with you guys Tuesday and Friday. I think I missed Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because I blame Eric for that one. He kept me up to like 3 a.m.
Well, that's fine. I'm cool with blaming him. Yeah. So just kind of like slowly rolling back into normal, you know?
Yeah. Get into that here in a minute, but I just want to get all the promotion stuff out of the way. Purdue, you got anything you want to shout out or anything cool going on this week?
No, nothing great at all. Actually, I had a kind of a terrible week, frankly.
Oh, so well, what happened to you?
I had a red week.
Ooh, that's not normal for you.
And it's all because of a Monday.
Really?
So it's not a terrible red week, but it is a kind of jumping the gun a little bit. Probably good, bad, and ugly. Kind of digging on a hole for Monday. So it wasn't a terrible week, but it wasn't a week that I'm proud of.
Oh, so it sounds like my topic. It might be a little close to home for you, too.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's get the South Carolina updates then first, because I think everyone kind of wants to know what's going on there, Baba. And then we can dive into some of that stuff.
Yeah. And time out, whoever's editing. God bless us for these puppies that are going to be yapping in the background. I don't know. They'll maybe fall asleep eventually, so my apologies.
People love pets. I think that's normally a good thing to let them go.
We have puppies.
Does anybody want one?
Yeah. It's a weird time for selling an expensive luxury dog.
Right.
just right after a hurricane blew through. So, yes, let's see. So, our first big trip up where we were, like, bringing supplies was a little over a week and a half ago or so, something like that.
Yeah.
To like the area that's most like we're most connected with, which was awesome because we kind of like fully outfitted and supplied them for what they needed for the time being. And so now the kind of conversations have switched to, you know, it's easy to find donations right now, but in 3 months or even in a few more weeks when it's not as exciting. So some of the stuff we're just like trying to stockpile a little bit of. The shout out to Flary for connecting with and helping foot the bill for like a 26 pallet 18 wheeler load of stuff that we have a warehouse down here to store so that we can like slowly deliver as there are needs. So that was huge. And then one of my good friends that lives in town, he and myself and another guy, some guys that from our church, it's a long story, but basically, we're kind of working out a way to offer the church in that community, like a side by side, that we've raised, money to purchase and have delivered to them. So that's coming next week, which is cool. Cause then they'll be able to take supplies to, you know, people who can't get there. So that's a couple of updates.
You sound pretty tired, man. Is it, slowing down at least for you a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah. Today was more like a normal day. I'm just a little bit, I mean, to be honest, I'm like kind of, I just feel real fatigued and kind of like, I'm ready for like some exciting, good, fun news, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Like just everything is, you know what I mean? It's just, it's been a lot for a while. And so it's now it's not, there's no more of like the, all right, everyone, pull your boots, you know, pull yourself up by your boots. We've got this. Now
the novelty's
like,
worn off.
The rush.
Just, yep.
Now it's like Purdue calls the grind, right?
Yeah, man. And so I think this week trying to balance like regular work and that work and everything we've got going on here with our house, it's just been a lot.
Yeah.
Vulnerability time.
Dude, I think it's understandable, man. I mean, you guys have been through some shit.
I'll try to be funny and exciting next time. Promise.
Dude, it's all right, man. It's all right. You be you. All right, let's talk about some trading stuff then. As Mike kind of hinted at a little bit, I kind of had a similar experience on Thursday. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you guys about was like how easy it is to fall back into those old bad habits. Like I think Flary said multiple times on this show, he says, I know what I'm capable of, and that scares him. And I think I kind of got a glimpse of that on Thursday, like just complete disregard for process, everything. Like it was just like I was trading the first time ever again for some reason. And like dollar wise, it didn't hurt that much. Like I was able to recognize what was happening and put the kibosh on it fairly quickly by, you know, normal standards. But it's really upsetting to me to see, or very disappointing to see how easy it is to fall back into that. Like all it took was just one morning of not being prepared and then right back in there firing off trades based on emotions and not waiting for setups, no patience. Like, I don't know. Am I on an island here? Doesn't it sound familiar to anybody else?
You're not on an island. It's, it's not just with trading. It's with personal behaviors. It's with trading. It is so much under the sun. Like this, I told you, was going down a rabbit hole for me because when you talk about something like that, it is a bigger persona issue than it is just trading. Like it's, you know, like if you're trying to change yourself, it takes a monumental task to try to change yourself and, you know, to change yourself out of habits. Like just think of like not smoking and how difficult it is not smoke.
Yeah.
And how much effort it takes and how one little slip up can get you back into the habit immediately. And then how many months it takes for you to break that habit to where it starts becoming less of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing goes with trading. It is that same mindset to where I'm going to be a degen and I'm going to learn to not be a degen. And then eventually you start realizing, hey, and this is kind of where I'm at. Like this has kind of been where I've been thinking about a lot lately is I'm trying to earn income for my family over this.
Mm-hmm.
Why the F are you clicking it right here? Are you following your rules? Are you paying attention? Are you really doing what you're supposed to do? Or are you just clicking the button because you feel like clicking the button? You know, it's a lot of that has been going through my mind lately, because I feel like when you start paying attention to it, that seriousness of this is your livelihood, start paying attention to what you're doing. Don't just click because you want to click, because the little thing on the little screen is moving. You know, it creates a different scenario of seriousness.
Yeah, it's easy to do it one day at a time. Like, it's easier for me when I can break it down like that. Like, today, this is who I'm going to be when I trade, and just break it down to that chunk. Like, I can trade this way for the next 15 minutes. I can trade this way for the next hour. I can trade this way for the rest of the day. But when you're approaching it with that kind of mentality, then does seem like it's just real easy to fall off that wagon and immediately go back and revert to those habits. It's almost like you're not building the right mindset. You're almost just trying to cope, or I don't know. Am I just rambling here now?
A phrase I always liked was, try to trade like your future self.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I try to trade, I always try and think about, would this be a trade that my future self would be proud of? Like, or is this a trade that I'd be proud to put in my journal?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to say when you're in the moment of doing things like that, of just clicking. Obviously, that's not easy, but it is something to work on. And that's where the change happens, to where if you're trying to be something better than you were before, obviously there's going to be pain, there's going to be struggle, there's going to be difficulties. And you just remind yourself as that, I'm not going to be that. And you take those steps.
You have to address it too, right? You got to look at it, confront it, talk about it, which is why I'm bringing it up this week, because I got to process it. I took some time this morning. I woke up early so that way I could sit down and look through the trades and write up some journal entries. But I don't know, man, it's disappointing. It's disappointing to know how susceptible you still are, even after 4 or 5 years that I've been doing this, you know, just as long, if not longer, for you guys. I don't know, Babo, do you have any thoughts?
I mean, yeah, today's a great example for me, actually, of, so when we finished this morning, you know, there was nothing to write home about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a little bit green. I don't remember the number, but, you know, definitely not anything like.
You're not packing up and going to Disneyland.
I'm not like, oh, yo, what a day.
Right.
It was very much a shoulder shrug, because, you know, I think I took 2 stops out the gate. Then we had the position that we traded. And I think Mike you were in that too, the long, and I just like hyper scaled it, because I felt like I wanted to have a little bit for like if we were to expand, but I also didn't want to get like, I didn't want the regret vibes of like, man, you know, I had 5 on or whatever and didn't take any off because I was going to hold for 40 points on my first scale.
Right.
So finish, done, whatever, go off. And I didn't have a tee time today. I haven't played golf in a while. My wife had to leave. I was here, just me and Joe. She was like chilling, doing whatever. I was like, well, let's see what we got going on over here. Traded, probably made another couple $100. And then I was still kind of like just hanging around the computer for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still sitting here. It's like 1 o'clock. And I thought to myself, literally had the thought, like, 1 o'clock on a Friday, like, what am I doing sitting here? Like, my God, I need to, like, get the freak up out of here and do something. But I didn't have anything to do, and I hadn't traded a lot in the last few weeks. So I thought, well, you know, on the off chance we get a move out of this range, you know, at least I'd like to be positioned for it to some extent. And so I proceeded to basically today and yesterday just ended up being a wash. Yesterday was a great day. And then today was like a normal red day, what could have been like a shoulder shrug green day, or even a little bit of like, it's okay.
Right.
It was like half of my week was a wash after this afternoon because the same thing you're describing a little bit. Mine was motivated a little differently, kind of by thinking, well, for the last few weeks, I've traded like 5 days in 15.
Right.
So maybe there's a chance to, you know,
some catch up vibes,
make up a little ground. And, you know, I mean, how many days does the NQ keep 100-point range? I was playing that stat in my mind going, okay, man, we go one side or the other. So you know, some of the trades I was positioned forward to and didn't scale anything. That's the other thing in the afternoon. And sized, you know, with like 30 micros. Oh. But you get that on Fridays.
I mean, that's still half your normal size, though, isn't it? Or your full size?
I mean, yeah, I haven't been trading very big lately.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
Like probably a couple months. On one off, you know, every once in a while. Because I was, yeah, at one point I was trading like six, like fours and six right. standard contracts. So 30 minis is not really whatever. And that risk micros, is spread out. Micros. That's spread out across a couple of accounts as well. So it's not right. all in one. But anyways, I think it is easy. I mean, like I had a cognitive moment where I just disregarded, you know, for a Friday afternoon being like suboptimal time for me to be at the desk, or really most any afternoon almost. And the thing that kept me hanging around was I can't recall seeing the NASDAQ stay inside of 100 points on ever.
OPEX Friday.
Even on an OPEX Friday, right. I just knew we would – I just felt that it was likely we blew one side or the other at some point. And I was yeah. fine whichever way it went. But I was basically the – I was the sells in every swing low. So I was the every next lower swing low was
every time it looked like they were going to go and they didn't.
A batch of stops back in batch. So it was just, and now when I was up, there was even in the afternoon after a couple trades back and forth, there was still very late in the afternoon. I was green to quite green at certain points, but I was, you know, again, playing for this break of the range or whatever. So Kyle, that's a long-winded answer to the point of it is easy. Now, here's the thing. Like for me, that it's not like a P&L setback or a mindset setback. It's just kind of like, meh. I mean, that was just dumb, you know? Like I don't feel like that's going to be – that's not something that happens super often. That pattern like has been something I have done more of in the past than in the last, you know, 6 or 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
Or even like year probably, but I found myself today doing that. So right. I think mitigating the damage on that is huge. Like I was not going to make a mess out of something. You know,
that's the exact same thing that was going through my mind when I finally stopped too, was something similar to that. Cause I didn't let it get too damaging as far as like dollar amounts go. It was maybe $50 more than I wanted to lose. Like it was really nothing. Yeah. It was minuscule. But the biggest setback I felt was to my mentality. It just kind of shook me that it was just so easy to fall back into that. Like how quickly, how easily you slip into it. It's like a familiar glove.
It's yeah.
The old habits die hard.
Ain't that the truth?
So, I mean, I think the awareness is a big part. Like being aware of like even what Purdue is saying of like, it is really easy to slip into an old mindset or habit. One of the things I kept thinking today, I almost said this to you, Purdue, just because, you know, well, I feel like you were talking a good bit. I thought this like four times. Like I have been a part of very bullish days where I really want to be long. And at no point today did I feel after the first like fumble rooski up there, it was really hard to for the pace and the drive and the rotations. I was struggling to
and the speed.
I was struggling to sink my teeth in like this is, you know, we are going to break this range and go this morning, especially I was struggling with that idea. But then you have, there was a lot of stats stacked to a move to the upside. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like squint your eyes and be long for me at least, because a lot of the work said, you know, that's the direction you want to trade, but. So I almost said today in chat, like, or I almost said on voice or ask you, Mike, like, hey man, you really feeling this is the upside? Cause I'm really struggling to like,
you
be
did
excited.
Say something like that. Actually
you did,
but
I remember hearing that.
it was, you know, I think but your thing wasn't today.
No, it was yesterday, which is funny. Cause I mean, Ron messaged in the chat here too, mentioned that today was one of his worst days too. It's funny some people have had trouble with, like the tight ranges, like today, I have trouble when volatility starts increasing and the emotions start getting higher. Then I start trying to chase and FOMO. And so a day like yesterday, when things are moving much quicker, that's when I tend to find myself getting into trouble.
Yesterday, for me, it was much more desirable.
Well, and yesterday was kind of a, there's more than just the T-type. Yesterday, I woke up late. Like I rushed to the desk with 15 minutes to go.
Make the whole list.
We'll go down the whole damn thing. Like, I missed that. I was caught off guard because I went to bed early. So I thought, like, why am I waking up late? And like, this isn't right. I rushed through all of my stuff. And what do you know? I didn't do any of it.
Yeah. Even if you think about today, here's another funny thing too. Like, yes, bad habits die hard, but also like small cracks. I don't know a good analogy, but all these little hiccups lead to like some amount of like mental vulnerability, mm-hmm. I would say. So like today, you remember like my mouse was like being a total jackass. Purdue's in like a banger long. I've been sitting here trying to get my mouse to work. All of a sudden it quit working. It was working when we were talking through prep. It was working all morning. We get live, market opens, mouse like won't move and then moves everywhere all at once. Had to restart Sierra twice. Like at that point, mm-hmm. I should have probably been like, you know what, guys? I'm sorry, but this has already pissed me off to high heaven. And I'm just going to have to say that it's not likely I'm going to take any trades today. But I mean, I didn't want to do that with everybody around and all that. But honestly, those kind of things, like, it's no wonder that I found myself at the desk at 1:30, 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. trying to participate still, feeling like I could have at least made twice as much this morning if I was not dealing with freaking Mousegate 2024, you know? So this ain't, you know, it's...
No, Baba, like, I relate to that so many times between running a business and coming back to the desk and doing that same exact thing. When something is irking me that much, like, it is automatically a sign, stop it.
Yeah.
Shut the screens off. You've already compromised yourself. Just move on.
You know, I went to bed, this is really a timely discussion. So there's probably no doubt that like mentally, as far as like mental rigor, I'm probably cruising down below 50% of what I would normally have just with everything going on. Like I'm dragging right now. You know, like mm-hmm. just, you probably can tell. I probably look a little tired. Yeah. It's been a lot. The last, you know, chunk of time has been the weirdest thing we've been through in a long time.
To be honest, I've been surprised to see you even trading with us with everything that's going on.
Well, I mean, this week was the first week I did, and I still think I only hit like 3 days or something. So, right. But even, you know, being aware of that, probably was a thing. The mouse thing was a thing, but also I was laying in bed last night and I was just thinking about, cause Thursday was a reasonably good day. And I was just thinking like, so we're talking about how little base hits add up, you know, you trade a few hundred dollars, multiply that out over a handful of accounts. And you know, it's like, oh, that's a good day.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about setting some calendar alerts to automatically go off on my computer. I was thinking about this last night. I was like, you know what would be good? It'd be good at like 10:30 to have a little thing that pops up that just says like, don't fight.
Dude, that's brilliant.
Because about 10 or 10:30, either I'm going to be probably already have already taken a couple of trades, gotten a batch of scales off, maybe broke it, break even on the runner, got back in, scaled some more, and should be positioned for either continuation or should be observing, hey, you know, there's a chance to fade this back in to a range depending on like balance and value and all that. And a lot, and that 10:30 window is usually when, you know, we're gonna, I mean, not just to that window, but sometime around there. Like,
well, dude, if I find, give me a couple of windows that you're thinking of, like sometimes I'll see if I can create a Discord alert to go off.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason that comes to mind is because that P&L graph from a few weeks ago, or maybe a month ago.
Your P&L by time of day?
My P&L by time of day, around that time, there's always a very volatile move. Most of the time, fortunately, it's not a volatile move to the downside. But on the days that it is kind of a, ooh, I'm on the wrong side of this at this time, then I have to like, you know, I have to put some work in there. So if I find myself fighting around that time, that volatility injection into my P&L is probably going to be the wrong way. Yeah. So I was thinking, hey, it'd be pretty cool to have an alert around 10 or 10:15, like a calendar alert that pops up. Hey, don't fight it. And then have another one like around 11 and be like, is it worth it? Like to be around here any longer, is it really worth it? You know, and maybe have something around like 9:45.
We should get Banks to give us some of his 20-minute change periods, because he's found some pretty banger moves off of some of those too.
Yeah, like 9:45, 10 o'clock, 10:15. That 30-minute from 9:45 to 10:15, I think is pretty key. You get the 15-minute range close, possibly a break of that range, a retest, a POC, and then at that point you should have some reasonable clarity on what's unfolding, just the way that I look at it. And then you've also got a 4-hour candle close, shout out Purdue. And you've also gotten another 1-hour candle close in there as well. So you kind of have something to work off of. And, you know, just I was thinking about that last night, woke up this morning feeling like $1 million from the standpoint of like excited about trading.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down, mouse takes a dump. And that just totally, that was like the little cracks that I look back on after basically just taking a good day yesterday and a you know, crap day today, and like having those two be just like a wash and looking at it going, man, like, like I think the signs were there. Same way for your morning on Thursday, you know, all those little nuggets were there. And I was like, should probably pay attention to that a little bit. Or like when Purdue comes in and he's finished, you know, quoting a job or dealing with a, you know, client or a worker and sees like, oh, my, should have been long 20 points ago, but here we are now, you know, like all of those little mental things I think are,
I see a lot of mistakes that I might come from missing, like being too scared to pull the trigger on like the scary entry, but usually like the trade that you want of the day.
Well, I mean, like my two stops early were really probably where, in all reality, I mean, it was quick and whatever, but the stops early would really have been better, like entries.
Mm-hmm.
They were swing low. They were inside range swing low stops. It was just piss poor stop placement. And right. Even later in the morning, I think I mentioned like this stop right here is not positioned well. I think I actually might have moved that one.
I think you did.
I actually remember you talking about that. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
You know, it's just like, it was right. Like, I would like
it to. It was like at or a high.
Yeah, I'd like to add right there. Yeah. So I had to move that guy. I think I moved it. I hope I moved it.
I think really you did. Remember. Yeah, you did. You did.
You know, so sometimes I get, you know, I think it's those little things, though, in a day that if you're not careful or mindful of them, whether it's the time of day and how you're feeling at that point or how you came into the day. I mean, I typically like to think I'm pretty resilient and like little things like that, I can just deal with it and be fine. But like the proof is that like it's a pretty competitive environment. There's a lot riding on it both ways. Probably should hold myself to that standard either way.
But there's, on the other hand, there's the idea that you're not always going to be at 100% and you still need to be able to perform.
I agree.
So I guess what's the threshold then for saying no thank you?
I think today was, considering the circumstances all outside of just the desk with what we got going on, I think today was probably a fine day to to be one of those, probably be better not to do much. On the other hand, if I come into the desk a little bit late, you know, I'm going to need, I would think that's fine. Like, I think that's, I don't have to get 20 minutes of prep in or whatever to be ready to roll.
Yeah. It's just as long as you can get the rest of your routine stuff done and you take the time to do it rather than trying to rush to be ready for the
bell. I'm going to look at the same three charts.
Right.
And, you know, if that means the market's opening and I'm still looking at them, that's fine.
Yep.
But that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is
that right there is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm going to spin this into the positive that I've reflected on in my journal today.
Let's go. Positive
was exactly that. What you're talking about right now,
mm-hmm.
today would have blown myself up. I would have revenge traded a bazillion times, 10 times over. And today was a typical inside day that would have chopped my ass up. And I was being particular and specific about where and when I'm going to enter. And I had a red day. I actually could have been positive in the week twice today.
I hate it when that happens.
And I got a little bit greedy about where I wanted price to go today, which was up to the 600 level. And I'm fine with it. I'm at a balance area high. We're flirting around with it. We're above it. And I was playing with that in my mind. We're at balance area high. I'm expecting to push out of this range and we're going to extend. So I'm not necessarily mad about the way I traded today, but I'm exceptionally proud of the way I traded it and how I traded on my terms.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's really where I think, Baba, what you're getting at too, is start picking out about, like, that is like the biggest thing that I started noticing more and more of myself, is I'm starting to pick out my terms of where I want to trade.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Yeah, I think that up until today, this afternoon, I would say, coming back from 2.5-3 weeks of not doing really anything, I think it's easier to be a little more demanding, or like a little more, until, like I said, today, not so much, but I echo that sentiment of like trading on your terms. Like, for instance, okay, if Banks is already long from whatever and I'm not, that's fine. I'm okay with, if I didn't see it or that was my deal to be long there, then I'll, you know, then good for, I mean, we, I think I said that like yesterday or the day, we're like, good for anybody that got that long. I was sitting here with my, you know, nothing going on my end. But the other thing you mentioned there, which I think, Kyle, is the encouraging thing for your Thursday, and then I would also say for like today for me, is that like you're not really going to carry any wounds from a an account standpoint, or a scar, like, oh, today I blew three accounts and, you know, blah 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 blah, like you know it's just like, oh well, it was a red day. It could have been an account ender, mm-hmm. if you let it spool, probably, like
this would have been
you experienced in the past.
Yeah.
Same thing like what Mike is saying, like easy to take a funded account and drive it into the ground out of frustration, or lose more than you want in a personal account or whatever on a week where you're like, I'm going to get that Monday back. I think the appreciation of progress is that you recognize the issue and you pump the brakes before it was a mess. And that's progress in and of itself, even in a setback.
Yeah, I might be being a little hard on myself, and maybe Mike, you're being a little hard on yourself too. It's just the initial reaction. Like, I am proud of the way I handled it. I'm proud of the way I responded today. Like, the week ended up being pretty much just nothing. Like it didn't happen, which kind of sucks. Yeah. But, you know, I mean.
Well, I mean, it kind of sucks, or you could have work to do next week to make up for it. You know, right. I mean, that's the other thing.
I'm not at all ashamed of the way I traded this week, frankly. I'm mad at myself for what I did on Monday, but I'm not ashamed, especially what I did today.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the range would have expanded today, it would have been a much different story.
Exactly.
And I think there's something to that, like even being frustrated about this afternoon that I hung around and like made a few donations I didn't have to make to the market, you know. But it's not like I didn't take dumb trades.
Right.
Like I didn't buy a swing high or sell the low. I added through some moves through highs that obviously didn't really help the cause, but or moves through like certain clusters of delta or whatever. But the other thing is that everybody I think might kind of elbowing around this idea is like, there's always a chance that you're wrong, that we don't expand.
Yeah.
And you take a stop. That's why you have one. There's also a chance that your day is red. You should have a line that you're like, don't, you know, this is the threshold for what makes sense based on my size and my comfort of what I'm willing to lose. And
you know, I actually put that in today.
Yeah. Within that amount, maybe you get there faster than you wanted to on a day, but like the regular sized red day is the thing that, and I don't want to advocate for red days, but I'm just saying a regular, damn man, I was wrong today.
Yeah.
But it was just,
it didn't ruin your day.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing that it, like, you don't hear a lot about, you know,
but that's the exactly what you're talking about. Like that's where I'm at right now. Like I took my shots today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get to my goal, but I'm red, but I took my shots, and that's a very acceptable red day for taking my shots.
Yeah, because if you let this day or like this OPEX Friday balance affect the way you approach the markets in general, and you're like, oh, I got to go back to the drawing board. And I think that's an important point to make out of this even is like there's no – just because – we didn't expand out of the range. We were at this balance high. We were traded above yesterday's value or whatever prior distribution and all of that. And we didn't continue, but we also didn't really break down either. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't really have the washout because there was a point where I was like, well, timber, here it goes. But like, then it didn't stick save. I think like three times or more. Right. So if every time a day type develops oddly or atypical to what you expect and you are red, as long as that's not every day or not more days than it's not, then that's just your variance. You know, I mean, that's part of like longevity in this game is that you can have a stupid Friday, you know, where it doesn't go and NQ's inside 100-point range all day. You know, if that's your prime, if that's what you need to succeed, you're really not going to have that often. So if that is the type of day that snips your wings a little from a P&L standpoint, you know, that's okay. Cause we see that like once a quarter.
Right.
If that, I mean, I'd be real curious actually the last time NQ had her inside 100-point range day, I really don't recall ever like in memory. I'm sure it has. I think
you had a 205-point range, and most of that occurred in London time.
Yeah, I'm talking RTH.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From 9:30 to 1400, 1500.
How long was it till ES finally broke the 15-minute opening range?
I don't know, but I don't know if NQ closed outside of it, but like for a second, two times a day.
Yeah.
So that's my point is like, okay, inside day, small RTH range. If that clips your P&L wings, brings you down a little bit, or even you have a red day, just understand those conditions are not present 85%, 90% of the time. Those conditions aren't present.
Clips my
wings. Also, Baba, I just remember too, I owe you an apology.
Oh, I don't think so, but I'll take it.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I was making fun of you a couple months ago about your runners on ES.
Oh, yeah?
I've been trading a lot more ES lately this last week and week or two.
You did make fun of me for my runner.
Yeah,
you're like, that's nothing.
I got a whole outro even on here about catching 30-point runners with you every day. And yeah, sorry, buddy. I forgot how slow that fucking thing moves.
You can't imagine. Did you traded it today? What did it move, like 8 points all day?
I could have closed out my runner for 20 points. And that was after holding it all. I mean, I had a fucking beautiful entry too.
At one point, I was up 100 point. Okay, so at one point, I was up 100 points across five accounts.
on
today.
ES?
On a range. No, on NQ today when the range was less than 100 or right at 100.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And I was like, is that a victory? I actually texted Fleury. I was like, if the range is only 100 and I've made 100, is that good enough? Like as a joke? And then I felt like it wasn't, of course. So then I
proceeded. ES range on October 18th was 29 points RTH.
Wow.
20, oh my God.
NQ was 97.
There you go. When's the land? And can you find another time it was like that RTH?
On a Friday.
On right. a Friday. Really? You know, I was thinking Purdue too. I was kind of like coming into today with like that no fear of Friday. I'm trying to like Mondays and Fridays traditionally have not been my best days. Like just not lately, but just in, over the whole. So my guard against that is smaller size and I don't try to be as active. Today I was like, oh, it's Friday, but like I'm not going to do anything stupid, but I'm not going to think about it being Friday. I'm just going to trade. And I was in the back of my mind thinking, you know, Purdue, man, he'd be banging on Fridays, dude. We usually get these crazy ranges. Like, this will be fun. And then we get 97 freaking points.
Yeah, normally I lean on Fridays.
I know.
Mondays are normally no trade.
I was trying to you know, feel that energy. After like the third head fake, I was like, well, I don't know if I'm still feeling this, but we're all here. So, I mean, I don't know. I would just say if you're listening in today or like for Ron, especially, you said today was a tough day. Yeah. For all of us, a 97 point range RTH is probably not where we're going to perform the best.
Yeah.
My trading isn't set up. I try to say like inside of 50 points, we need to be able to make what we need to make. But you're not buying the nut low. 50 points is over half of what the range was today. Like,
and who's trading NQ to scale at 15 points?
50, not 15. 15.
Oh no, I mean that's what you would have had to have done today.
Oh, I did a little bit. I know. I mean, did you see some of those ads? I was like, I'm taking this off at 12.5 points. I felt like a total loser in retrospect. That was like the wisest thing I've done in a long time.
Oh gosh.
I don't disagree with that either, because I was like, you know, I got five. I'll just take one off here, just pay myself a little bit, and then yeah, take the freaking
yeah.
Well, should we do some good since we already did all the bad and ugly?
Did all the bad and the ugly. I don't. Yeah, sure.
Well, who's got something good then?
Oh man,
I think I already went over my good.
What was your good?
Yeah, that is. You should say that again.
My good today was literally like today was a day that would have ate my lunch 2 years ago easily.
And you look back on your execution, you were proud.
Yes, I looked back at my journal today. And every one of them was a logical thought process long. I had my pattern, I had my level, and they just never panned out and went. And I could say I was a little greedy about where I wanted price to go to make up my deficit for the week, but I was definitely not disappointed with today.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. My good, I think, was actually yesterday, even if you can believe that, even after all the pissing and moaning I've done about how shitty that day was. But the best thing that I did was I didn't let it affect my day. And I think that was directly reflected by the fact that I didn't let the P&L get out of control. It was much easier to just say to myself, you know what, I'm going to put some time behind this. We'll look at it tomorrow. But right now I'm going to go enjoy my family, spend some time with my wife, and I was able to put it out of my head. That's not something I'm usually very good at. So I felt pretty proud of myself for being able to do that on Thursday.
That's something that I found that was always, that for me, it came from backtesting, was it's just another day.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many backtests you do and you click the next day and you don't realize the time frame that spent during your backtest. Like you click to the next day.
Oh.
But that time is so much easier when you're backtesting just to flip to the next day. But it's been something that's been on my mind a lot lately, is that those, you know, I take one or two trades on those back tests, the time in between has so much more pressure or relevance when you're actually living in it.
Oh, damn, Ron. Sorry, Ron just posted in there about his day saying he's got some issues to deal with, but Ron, if you want to talk, man, just reach out to any one of us, man. We'll be happy to sit down with you.
Yeah, 100%. Good. There's nothing extremely bad. There's nothing really good from this week. Was kind of just the good is I haven't really done anything. Like, I haven't tried to hurry back.
Yeah.
This afternoon, there was a little bit of that. More frustration from the morning, I think, the mouse thing and then missing a couple entries or whatever. But I think all in all, I think my typical attitude would be to like, oh, I've missed, however many days, 50 in most of this month, really. I need to get in here and, I need to have the last whatever 2 weeks of this month be what a whole month would normally be.
Right.
And I'm going to miss some time at the end of next week and the first part of the following week. So I'm going to be on a trip to New York, where I plan to place a trade in front of the Raging Bull statue.
You get you get you a picture next to it for me.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
So I don't know. I think the good honestly has nothing to do with trading, but my son had a teacher that was like really helpful and kind to him, who, because of health situation with her spouse, moved schools to be closer to home. And so, but tonight was the fall festival, and she came all the way back to it's like an hour drive back to the fall festival, to the school that she used to teach at, and spent took my son and did the whole fall festival with him.
Dude, that's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Which son?
So,
is this the 11-year-old?
One of them, yeah.
The one you took to the monster truck rally?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Man, I want to meet that kid. He looks fun.
Yeah, he's funny. If you can get him talking, dude, he's a little bit quiet, but when he gets going, it's a good time. But yeah, when she was just so helpful and kind with him through school the last few years. And so she, it's been gone this year, but over the summer she came back and like we all went to the Children's Museum together. We went to lunch a couple times with her. And then she just surprised us tonight and came to the fall festival, which I thought was pretty awesome. So
that's fantastic, man.
Not trading related, but it was awesome.
Dude, it doesn't always have to be, right?
That's right.
Another good thing I did was actually not trading Wednesday. I was having trouble sleeping Tuesday night, and I think I finally was able to fall asleep by admitting to myself that I wasn't going to get the trade. That was finally what ended up letting me get to sleep.
There you go.
You ever do that? You just toss it and turn it all night long, trying to think, I got to get to sleep. Otherwise, I'm going to trade.
I very rarely have more than a few moments before I'm asleep when I get in the bed. Oddly, I just go.
Dude, my wife's
usually I just die when I hit the covers.
I suffer from some insomnia.
So I used to be like that in the military when you lay down and just you can sleep anywhere, anytime, any place. I can still do that if I need to get some sleep. But sleeping in bed at night, that is a whole nother story for me.
Wow.
Yeah, everyone always told me that in the military, you can sleep anywhere. I was not the person that could.
Oh, no.
You couldn't do that.
I'm the person who could fall asleep in the ER room while your girlfriend's getting emergency surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, you don't wait don't wait for drills.
That's not me, bro. I don't know about public places like that, but when I lay down, usually it's lights out. Last night, I thought for a little while before I went to sleep, but usually it's pretty quick, but there are rare circumstances where I lay down and can't go to sleep, and that is like the most torturous thing in the world. So for anyone that deals with that, God bless you. Because
about the only thing that I found that even helps is breathing exercises, like deep breaths through the belly. That stuff that Rich Friesen teaches.
Deep
breath through the belly. Pause. Hold it for like 2-3 seconds, then let it out. Pause for 2-3 seconds, and then just continue doing that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there's something.
Says, no.
Something with the pattern that's supposed to like.
He said, help. Doesn't matter how he breathes.
Yeah, it's
actually it's
you got to shut the mind off too, though.
Well, that's the point. Like the quietness screws me up the most.
Yes.
Put me in a C-130. Put me in a noisy environment, and somehow I can shut it off. When it's quiet, I can't sleep at all.
Dude, when it's quiet is when something's broken on a submarine. So everyone, like as soon as the AC shuts off and your vent fan starts blowing, something's happened because they only shut that air off when there's a fire or something else going on.
Yeah, when you're sitting in a C-130, like just that noise. That
and if it's quiet it too, and that's 1:30, like, you're going to be really nervous.
Exactly. So when it's like, and this is funny because like I always grew up in dead silence. And then somewhere between there through the military, through everything else, to college, all of a sudden noise, I have to have noise to sleep. And when I have dead silence now, I can't sleep at all.
Wow.
I just don't get it. So I have this little gizmo called a snooze that makes a fan imitation noise that has to go in my room.
That's awesome. You ever drive with those lunatics who drive in silence?
No.
The fuck is wrong with people? How do you go anywhere just dead quiet?
Yeah. I have my radio blaring the whole entire time.
All right, you guys, you got anything else that we should cover before we wrap this thing up, or should we just call it an early night and get you to bed?
I think that's acceptable.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you, Baba Yaga. Thank you, Purdue. Thank you, everyone, for joining us who stuck around to the end here. Make sure you show our panel some love. Click on any of those links in the show notes. Visit VantaTrading.com to catch 30-point ES runners with Baba Yaga every morning. And BandaTraders.com, where you can browse our huge catalog by guests. Don't forget to check out our friends at Rare Barrel on YouTube. Shout out for Larry. I'll be back with another exciting episode that hopefully scores more. Oh, wait a minute. What the fuck is that?
What?
You ever write down a outro and then forget about it?
Never.
Nope, not once.
Yeah, no. What should we do? What should we do? No, that's a shit one.
Ooh, this is awkward. Come on,
help me out, guys. Help me out, guys.
More exciting than it.
You're the spin doctor, man. Fuck, yeah. You're way better than I am.
All right, we'll be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully with more range than Friday's price action. But until that time, like, share, subscribe, all that good shit, and have a wonderful week.
Yeah, like
and
that.
Sorry, Laura.
Sorry, Laura, for editing.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.